Challenging behavior in young children, understanding, preventing, and responding effectively. Authors, Barbara Kaiser and Judy Sklar-Rosminski. What is challenging behavior? Challenging behavior is any behavior that interferes with a child's cognitive, social, or emotional development that is harmful to the child, other children, or adults, that puts a high risk for later social problems or school failure. The focus here is on aggressive behaviors because they have such a vast and dramatic impact on the children who use them, their peers, and the teachers. Aggressive behavior aims to harm or injure others. It can be physical or verbal. It can be direct, hitting, pushing, pinching, biting, grabbing, spitting, hair pulling, threatening, name calling. Or indirect, spreading rumors, excluding others, betraying a trust. What causes challenging behavior? Challenging behavior is so complex that it isn't really possible to talk about its causes. Instead, researchers refer to risk factors that may predispose a child to act in an aggressive or antisocial way, and protective factors that may enable them to avoid such behavior. Risk factors increase the risk of a particular outcome, but they don't determine it. We've arranged the risk factors for challenging behaviors in two broad categories, biological and environmental. Biological risk factors are anything that impinges on a child from conception to birth, beginning with genes, followed by gender, temperament, complications of pregnancy and birth, substance abuse during pregnancy, and neurological problems. The environmental section starts with the family, a child's most intimate environment, and moves outward through Uri Bronfenbrehr's ecological circle of peer, school, neighborhood, and societal influences. Protective factors. Child development specialists set to work studying children who are growing up in difficult circumstances to determine why some of them have the ability to cope successfully even when they encounter high hurdles. The researchers named this ability resilience and found that it is associated with a series of protective or opportunity factors that counter the impact of the risk factors in a child's life. In general, the more protective factors there are, and the better they balance the risk factors, the more likely it is that a child will meet the challenges in his life and turn out to be a competent and caring individual. The first wave. Which qualities help a child bounce back? Individual factors. Children with resilience seem to have a strong sense of self-efficacy and possess what psychologists term an internal locus of control. They ascribe their success to their own efforts and abilities, not sheer luck. With varied talents, interests, activities, and coping strategies, they choose and build environments that reinforce their competencies, feel motivated to perceive and succeed, and have an optimistic outlook for the future. They may also have a spiritual side that adds meaning to their lives. Even a child with challenging behavior is likely to possess some of these attributes and skills in an embryonic or unconventional form, although it may take an extra thought and insight on our part to dig them out. One key to enhancing resilience is to search for these strengths and use them to build new skills and self-esteem. Family factors. High-quality parenting offers the best protection to children in hazardous situations. A loving relationship with one consistently supportive and responsive person who provides warmth, structure, high expectations, and age-appropriate limit setting and monitoring protects children at various stages of development and with many kinds of risks. If the parents can't provide this crucial bond, someone else can. What matters is that at least one caring person, a grandparent, an older sibling, a cousin, accepts and supports the child. The second wave. How do protective factors work? There are 8 possible ways that protective factors may contribute to positive outcomes. They could reduce sensitivity to risk, dilute the impact of risk, reduce the negative chain reactions that follow exposure to risk and perpetuate its effects, increase positive chain reactions, promote self-esteem, self-efficacy, and problem-solving skills, neutralize or counter the risk directly with compensatory positive experiences, open up opportunities, support positive thinking about negative experiences. Preventing challenging behavior. Challenging behavior can be prevented. Prevention can be enormously effective, and for that reason, it's very important. It can stop a child from accumulating risk factors. Preventing challenging behavior early can head off the development of more serious behaviors later. Research tells us that the prevention is more likely to be effective when it starts early, continues over a long time, is developmentally appropriate, works on several fronts simultaneously, at home as well as school, takes place in a real-life setting instead of psychologist's office or special program. Creating the social context. The social context is a framework that tells us what attitudes and behaviors are expected, accepted, and valued in a group or setting, and it has amazing power to influence what happens there. In the classroom, the program and physical space help to form and reinforce the social context, but in the end, the social context really grows out of the words, actions, and body language of the people inside it. Preventing challenging behavior. Physical space. What about personal space? All children need personal space as they move around the room and interact with their peers. How much depends on their culture and temperament. Children with challenging behavior often have a definite idea of how much personal space they should have. An invasion can easily set off pushing and shoving. Help Andrew understand that Eva didn't mean to come so near and give him a script to tell her to move back. Say, "I don't like it when you come too close." These discussions alert Andrew to his own and others' space requirements and help him extend his tolerance of another person's proximity. When a child loses control. A child who's behaving aggressively is out of control and doesn't hear anything you say. Whether the aggression is verbal or physical, reasoning no longer works. A fire is burning inside him, and it will burn anyone who comes too close. Your goal is to put out that fire, or let it extinguish itself. To accomplish this feat, you need to know what to do, and you have to remain calm enough to do it. Then you can provide the child with the support he needs to return to competent state. You will need to distance yourself psychologically. Whatever the child says or does, don't take it personally. Your emotions can draw you into the struggle, impede your ability to focus on him, and make you less effective. To keep your cool, imagine yourself by the sea. Concentrate on the bottom of your feet, or utilize breathing and self-talk. To ensure your own safety and allow the child to feel safe, you must also distance yourself physically, because he's responding to your physical presence, and it's not rational. He may need more space than usual. Weavers suggested the centered L stance. In the L stance, you don't face the child directly. Instead, you stand sideways, so you don't seem so threatening. What's most important is the position of your shoulders. If that right angles to the shoulder of the child, forming an L, you appear less menacing. Sensitive responsive care. Building a secure relationship with a child who has an insecure or disorganized attachment is a long and arduous process, requiring many doses of sensitive, responsive care. If a child doesn't trust adults to come through to him, the teacher must be, as Sroof puts it, patiently, inevitably, constantly, available. If the child expects to be rejected and the teacher excludes him by putting him in timeout or sending him out of the class, then his expectations are confirmed. In contrast, if a teacher reacts empathetically, it becomes possible for the child to believe that people actually do respond to his needs.